June 19th, 9516 BC.
She'll be a beautiful bride. Don't make me rip out your throat, Trotties.
Urien choked on his laughter as he saw the raw fear his father's wry threat wrung from Trotties, who quickly excused himself so that he could put as much distance between himself and Stryker as possible. Not that he blamed him. His father was in a rotten mood, and had been for the last few days, since Tanis had announced her intentions of tying herself to a worthless bit of Appellite trash. In fact, no one wanted Tanis to marry Errol, especially their father, and this engagement party was thoroughly pissing off everyone. Even though she was a full-grown woman who was fully developed thanks to their Appellite curse that had her appearing the same age as a human in her late teens or early 20s, she was still only 12 years old. As her father, Stryker couldn't get past her real age, and the fact that had they not been cursed, he would still have a few more years with her at home. Which was why he was insisting on a long engagement, something that had left his daughter, her future groom, and Tanis's future in-laws, complaining. Aside from their father, Urien and his mother seemed to be the only two who agreed about the long engagement. But then Urien hated Errol. He was a massive beast of an arrogant bastard, and they had a long history of fighting between them. Then again, Urien had a long history of fighting with most everyone. His mother sighed as she hugged Orion's arm.
I can't believe I'm losing another baby so soon.
I'm sorry, Mata. He jerked his chin toward his father, who was sharpening a knife while glaring at Errol. Though I'm thinking if Solrin has his way, there won't be a wedding. Maybe just a wedding feast. She laughed.
There are times when I simply adore your Solrin, Uri.
Patting his arm, she stepped away, as if she knew her human blood tempted him in spite of his deep love and respect for her. She adjusted her cloak higher around her neck.
So, who here has your fancy?
Urien felt the color rising in his cheeks at a question he always dreaded, especially since it made his stomach rumble from hunger. It seemed ever his destiny to starve, even though he was in a room full of walking meals. But there wasn't anyone here who would feed him.
Haven't found anyone yet.
You're still not being fed?
He didn't miss the note of panicked fear underlying her question. It was a secret he and his father had intentionally been keeping from her and everyone else. The fact that his father had a handful of loyal men he forced to bleed so that he could bring their blood to Urien in bladders or cups. While it wasn't the same thing as eating the way Apollo intended Appellites to feed, it kept Urien from starving to death. The one advantage to it was that it left him a bit edgier than the others. Leaner and meaner, as the humans would say. Because he was perpetually hungry, his senses were sharper, his powers stronger, more focused, and he was always angry and looking for a fight. Except where his mother and sister were concerned. And of course, the goddess. But that was simply because he knew Apollyme would rip out his throat if he ever showed his temper around her. Luckily, Tanis called his mother away at that moment and saved him from having to answer as his sister took her home from the small meal she prepared for their mother to eat. Since their mother was the only one who required food, Urien, Tanis, Paris, and Davin took turns cooking meals for her. Apollyme always made sure she had vegetables, fruits, and fresh meats, and they took it as a source of pride to make sure their mother was well cared for and protected from any threat. Restless, Urien drifted through the crowd in the dark hall where many of their community had gathered to celebrate his sister's news and feed, which meant the hall was quickly turning into an orgy, so parents were covering the eyes of their smaller children and rushing them home. No doubt that was really why Tanis had called their mother away. They were all careful to keep their human mother separate from any of their parties, aside from the fact that the way they ate tended to horrify her. As a non-Appellite, she could easily find herself someone's prime course, and the witness to Urien's first massacre, as he was rabidly protective of his mother and sister to a frightening level. While his father might sharpen the knife, Urien was a little too quick to use it. Another reason no one would feed him. His temper was quite legendary among their people already, as were his powers. Davin staggered over to him, By the glazed and dazed appearance of his eyes, it was obvious he'd been feeding quite a bit already and was more than a little blood drunk. Licking his fangs, he smiled as he draped himself against Orion's back and rested his chin on Orion's bare shoulder. Because they'd grown up together, he alone held no fear of Orion, or much of anyone else.
"Hey, Brother Ori, sure you don't want to join us?"
His hand drifted a little too far south toward the hem of Orion's short chiton. Orion laughed as he extricated himself from Davin's hug and sloppy grope.
"You're a little too happy, Dav, and Paris doesn't share. Believe me, I know. I still have a bruise from the last time I hogged too much blanket. Given the ass-whipping I took from that, I'd hate to think what he'd do if he found his boyfriend draped all over me."
Davin tisked.
"I know you're hungry. Won't you get tired of drinking reheated blood? Wouldn't you like someone fresh to eat?"
His breathing turned ragged at an invitation that was extremely hard to say no to. Every part of him was attuned to the scent of Davin's blood, to the hunger inside him to feed.
"However, I won't be an asshole. Not to his brother, and definitely not to Davin, who would be horrified if he were sober.
Davin would never act like this if he weren't high from the bloodlust. Paris should have known better than to have fed him and left him alone to find his way home. It had been a stupid thing for his brother to do. Davin was too young and inexperienced to have been abandoned in a crowd where someone could easily prey on him.
"Tell you what, Davy, let's find Paris, shall we?"
"Ooh, three of us frolicking.
Good idea, I like that even better."
"Yeah." Orion draped Davin's arm around his shoulders and led him through the crowd to hunt for his twin. Yet the sight and smell of the others feeding while he was starving and this close to a willing donor, it was torture. And it made his stomach rumble with need, not to mention other parts of his body reacted with a disturbing hunger of their own that he didn't even want to contemplate.
"Where did you leave Paris?"
Davin was almost unconscious. Orion had to shake him awake.
"Davin, where did you leave my brother?"
"In a room."
Oh, that was so unhelpful. Had Davin been sober, Orion would have slapped him. Instead, he sighed in irritation. It was a good thing Davin was the only friend he had, or the temptation to gut him would have been harder to resist. Unsure of how to best handle this, Orion decided to find his brother Theo, who had taken his wife and children home the moment the first set of clothing had started coming off. While Theo was far from prudish and had been known to participate in some of the most lascivious parties ever thrown, as had Theo's wife, Praxia, prior to their marriage, Theo's eldest child was a daughter, and he was extremely protective of her virtue. Not to mention, Theo's home was the closest to the hall, so it made sense to head there first and start with him. After Orion's insistent knocking, a barely dressed Theo answered the door with an annoyed frown. Given his brother's state of dishabille and the redness of his throat, Orion would say Theo had been in the midst of his own sexual encounters with Praxia, something further confirmed by the bite in Theo's bark when he growled at Orion, "What do you want?" He blinked slowly, just for maximum annoyance, as that was a moral imperative whenever dealing with one of his older siblings. Then he spoke slowly, drawing out his words to again irritate his brother as much as possible. "Apollo's death, Apollite domination over the world of mankind, and an end to our curse. But at the moment, I'd settle for you returning your attitude to whatever asshole gave it to you and finding Paris." Orion caught Davin as he began to slowly sink sideways to the floor and helped to right him. Our good and thoughtful brother abandoned Davin and vanished to who knows where to do who knows whom. Can you lend us a hand and watch over Davin while I try to find the stupid bastard? Davin finally stopped trying to grope Orion long enough to scowl at them both.
"I don't want to sleep with Theo, Ori. He's an asshole. Let's find Paris. He's very cuddly."
Orion passed a see-what-I-mean stare at his older brother. That took the edge off Theo's anger.
"How long has he been like this?"
"Since I found him." Theo rolled his eyes at Orion's sarcasm.
"And Paris left him in this condition?"
"You're making all my points, genius. God,
was he the only member of his family who possessed a functioning brain? There were times, like this, when Orion suspected he might be hoarding the only one capable of any semblance of reason in his whole sibling gene pool. Smirking, Orion gave him a peeved glare. "Davin's right. You are an asshole." With a disgusted sneer, Theo grabbed Davin by his calmus and pulled him deeper into his home before he called out to his wife,
"Rax, get dressed. I need you to watch Davin until we return."
"Where are you going?" she called from the other room. There was no missing the irritation in her shrill tone.
"Just do what I say, woman."
Orion paused at the door. "You shouldn't talk to her like that. She's the mother of your children, you know. Not to mention, she put up with Theo when Orion couldn't imagine why."
"Mind your own business, Ori. This is my house, and I'll run it as I see fit."
Ooh, leave it to Theo to default to the same cave logic that had made all of them resent their father. "And your Solrin would have your ass if he heard you speaking to your wife in that tone." Theo's nostrils flared with anger as he pinned on his calmus. Ignoring his brother's anger and disgusted by his behavior, Orion looked past Theo to where Proxy was coming down the stairs to take over watch duty. "We're going to look for Paris. As soon as we find him, I'll bring Theo back." Maybe not unbruised, especially if he kept lipping off, but,
"Thank you, Orimu."
Respectfully, he inclined his head to her, then made his exit. As soon as they were outside Theo's house, Theo grabbed him and slammed Orion against the wall of his neighbor's home.
"You ever do that again, and I'll..."
Orion punched him in the gut. "Don't threaten me, Theo. I'm not a child anymore." Theo used his powers to knock him back and choke him. With his own psychic blast, Orion broke his hold and struck out, letting his powers have full rein of his fury. He knocked Theo careening down the street without touching him. Because his powers were so much stronger than anyone else's, Orion knew better than to put them on display. That was why this was the first time he'd ever fully unleashed them in front of anyone other than Apollome. But he was too angry and hungry tonight for restraint. And too late, he recovered his control and temper to realize that there were a lot of witnesses on the street tonight for his outburst. Too many who'd been coming and going from the celebration. Shit. He turned around slowly to see the horrified stares that condemned him. Always. If anyone else had shown such massive power, they would have been applauded for it, considered great, and praised. Not him. Nay, never the son with freakishly white hair, born to Stryker and his Greek bride, the one with eyes unlike other Apollites. He was to be feared and ostracized for things he didn't do and couldn't help.
I really am born cursed.
This was no exception to his humiliation and misjudgments. Already, he could hear their whispers around him.
"He's a freak. How can anyone so young do that? What's wrong with him?"
"I told you he was to be avoided. You see what he can do? It's unnatural."
Even when Orion tried to do the right thing, it always turned against him. Somehow, he ended up on the wrong side of any matter in the eyes of their people. It never failed. They always judged him the bad guy. Just like now. They never saw the truth of him. Everyone stared at him as if he should be punished, when all he'd been trying to do was help his twin, Davin, and his sister-in-law. When will I learn? He was the anti-Midas. Everything he touched turned to shit, and the injustice of it burned raw in his belly. If that weren't bad enough, he saw Paris among those wanting his head on a spike for the outburst. And Paris was completely fine and standing with their brother Alchemos.
I should have known. No good deed goes unpunished. Orion, what is this?
He cringed as his father appeared by his side. Before he had a chance to answer, Theo pushed himself to his feet.
I was doing him a favor, Solrin, and this is the thanks I get for it. He assaults me without reason.
Their father returned his attention to him.
Is this true, Orion?
Orion glared at Theo. I had my reasons. That answer didn't sit well with his father, who cast them both a disgusted sneer for having brawled in the street like two common hoodlums and not the princes they were supposed to be.
Then elaborate.
Holding back his outrage, he gestured toward Theo.
You sired an asshole, Solrin. I was trying to cull him down to a mere shit for brains.
Orion,
his father growled. He straightened his calmness over his chitin with a nonchalance he definitely didn't feel, especially while the others continued to smear his semi-respectable name. All Orion wanted was to leave while he could, to be left alone by everyone. Instead, he forced himself to stand as if it didn't bother him at all. He'd never give them the satisfaction of knowing how much their condemnation scalded his heart and scarred his soul. I took issue with the manner in which he spoke to me and sought to teach him a more respectful tone. I've had it with his high-handed tactics, and I refuse to be talked down to anymore by him or anyone else. Theo curled his lip.
You see, Solrin? He's a recalcitrant brat. Instead of indulging his disrespect all the time, you need to be spanking his spoiled little ass.
Their father shook his head.
Nay, Orion's right. The world and people will treat you how you allow them to. I won't punish him for having the temerity to stand up to you, Theo. Especially when I know you have the ability to fight back, and that you've never hesitated to strike him down whenever you think you've been slighted by him or anyone else.
Theo sputtered indignantly. Finally, he curled his lip as he raked a glare over Orion.
One day, Solrin, you will regret the fact that you didn't keep a tighter leash on your favored pup. Mark my words. He's a rabid little bastard who's loyal to no one but himself.
Luckily, their father knew better. He passed a meaningful glance toward Theo's home.
Careful, Magios. Too often, when confronted, we condemn ourselves in our anger. So think twice before you spew venom to taint your brother with the shadows of your own sin. For hate is a boomerang that once it's cast out has a nasty way of coming back to the one who threw it. And more often than not, it cripples the hand that first unleashed it.
A tick started in Theo's jaw.
Fine. Coddle him. You always have. It's half of what's wrong with him.
And with that, he headed home. Yet the crowd remained, staring, whispering, condemning. Orion felt their judgment as if it were a living, breathing beast crawling all over his skin, and he deplored the sensation. Why couldn't he be more charming, like Paris? Everyone loved and adored his twin. Yet it seemed the harder he tried to be liked, the less inclined they were to do so. So he'd given up trying, and had just reconciled himself to their hatred and disparagement, to his sullen solitude. It was easier that way. Better to reject them before they had a chance to slap him down, and risk this sick feeling he currently had in his stomach that churned it sour.
Don't listen to him, Ori.
He barely caught himself before he rolled his eyes at his father's most commonly uttered phrase for these situations. Despite what his brothers thought, their father would backhand him if he showed any form of disrespect. Stryker wasn't known for his patience with anyone or for brooking any form of insubordination or insolence. Especially not from his children. Aye, sir. His father caught him roughly by the hair at the nape of his neck and forced him to look up until he met his gaze. There was a stern yet loving glow in those swirling silver eyes that now matched those of their goddess, a result of Apollomies having saved his father's life that night when Orion had first met Syroxen, after his father had almost died in a confrontation with Apollo. It was why his father couldn't feed him anymore, not without it converting Orion not only to a daemon like his father, but also bonding their life forces together and allowing his father to see through his eyes, to know his thoughts and emotions. Because his father held the blood of two gods, it gave him a lot more power than any of the other Apolytes or daemons. Truly, his father was like no other. And neither was Orion.
You listen to me, Pedo, and take these words to heart. Damn them for what they think. For that is something you can never control or change. What you do have authority over is your own reaction to their spiteful words, and they have no value in your world unless you will it so. The only opinions that should ever matter to you are those of the people you love, the people you deem worthy of your concern. To the rest, close your ears and close your heart. Because if they don't care what damage they do to your life, then you don't care what damage you wreak to theirs. Blood to blood, fang for fang. Remember, Orion, a smart man strikes the first blow, but it's the wise man who strikes the last one. Understand?
Aye, Solrin. He pulled him against his shoulder and hugged him close, then kissed his head.
I love you, Pido.
He growled deep against Orion's ear.
Don't you ever forget that.
Orion nodded as he clutched his fist in his father's cloak and held tight to him, grateful for his support. With two powerful pats to his spine that left him bruised, his father released him and stepped back.
Now go. See to your business.
Aye, sir. Orion headed for Paris and then slugged his brother so hard it sent him straight to the ground.
What the Hades?
Paris sat up and rubbed at his jaw.
Have you lost your mind?
Orion glared at him. That's for being an asshole. Find Davin and don't leave him again. Next time you're this stupid, I'll stab you for it and take your boyfriend from you. You don't deserve someone as good and decent as Davin if you're going to run off and abandon him when he's unable to fend for himself. Paris pushed himself to his feet as Orion walked away.
I'm not the ass, Orion, you are.
Without stopping, Orion scoffed.
You are wrong about that, Adelphos. And you best make a sacrifice to the gods tonight that I don't decide to one day embrace the demon all of you think lives inside me. I promise you, the day I let that beast out, you will all be running for cover.